Hello, I'm Andrew Tarkin. You're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. Until last year, Slovenia's capital, Ljubljana, didn't have anywhere for Muslim people to worship. That finally changed with the opening of the city's spectacular mosque and Islamic cultural centre. It was a project 50 years in the making, but aesthetically at least, it was worth the wait, with the complex winning Slovenia's top prize for architecture. Monocle's man in Ljubljana, Guy Delorni, is another fan, and he brings us this tall story.
The world is full of houses of worship which have taken a long and tortuous road to completion, and some of this I take personally. In my home city, Liverpool, the construction of the Anglican Cathedral took no less than three quarters of a century. The architect Giles Gilbert Scott was just 22 years old when he came up with the design for Britain's largest religious building in 1903. He'd been dead for 18 years by the time the cathedral was completed in 1978. Meanwhile, 5 years of residence in Belgrade wasn't enough for me to see the completion of the largest church in the Balkans. Construction of the Temple of St. Sava started in 1935, and its long-awaited consecration has been delayed by the coronavirus pandemic. But at least I was in Ljubljana for the opening of the city's spectacular and, in some intolerant quarters, highly controversial mosque. 5 long decades in the planning and making, it finally welcomed its first worshippers last year, and, as I found out, non-Muslim members of the local community can find a friendly reception there as well. Before we get into the complicated history of the project, we should point out the blindingly obvious. Ljubljana's mosque is a beautiful addition to the city, especially given its location. You can find it in a neglected corner of the Bežigrad district. It's sandwiched between a spaghetti junction of train tracks, the vast bulk of the Union Brewery, and a railway museum so dilapidated that at least one website lists it as a prime venue for thrill-seeking urban explorers. In that context, the mosque projects an air of tranquility without even trying. Its architecture seems designed to bring calm to chaotic surroundings. The predominant colour is white, and the main materials are concrete, wood, and glass. And yet, the buildings are not overwhelming obelisks, but open and welcoming. The extensive deployment of latticework gives the impression of the supporting cables of a suspension bridge, and the feeling that a visitor is embarking on a journey. The outer buildings house a library, education centre, apartments for employees, and even a gym. They surround a central square area, with the mosque itself in the middle. But everything is carefully arranged so the house of worship can be viewed from all sides, through the gaps between the buildings. In one of those spaces, a slim minaret reaches 40 metres into the sky, narrowing to a point so that it resembles nothing so much as a freshly sharpened white pencil. One thing you can't see from the outside is the sort of distinctive dome you'd expect at a complex of this kind. That's because the cupola is suspended in the mosque's spacious interior. A tightly stretched light blue textile offers an impression of the sky to as many as 1,400 worshippers. All of this is the work of architects who could hardly be any more local. You only have to turn three corners between the mosque and the practice led by Matija Beok and Vasa Perovic. And this meant the architects really had a stake in creating a complex which would lift the entire Bežigrad area. They embraced the opportunity presented by the undeveloped and frankly unlovely location in this part of Ljubljana. For inspiration, they looked to the mosques which were constructed in Sarajevo during the 19th century. Aesthetically, the end product looks nothing like the old bazaar in Bosnia's capital, but in the same way, Beok and Perovic hope the Ljubljana mosque will, as they put it, seed the development of a hitherto neglected corner of the city. They've already succeeded in another goal, linking the traditional values of Islamic architecture with a contemporary design sensibility, and the end product even seems to have quieted the dissenting voices which delayed the entire project for decades. Perhaps it wasn't surprising that socialist Yugoslavia rejected the first application to build a mosque in Ljubljana in the late 1960s. After all, the Tito regime had, at best, an ambivalent relationship with all religions. But the objections which followed Slovenia's independence in the 1990s were very much of the ugly nationalist variety. But legal challenges to the mosque were rebuffed by successive city mayors who defended what one called the constitutionally guaranteed rights of a religious minority. The foundation stone was laid in 2013, and now, at last, Slovenia's 80,000 Muslims have a permanent place to worship. And, as I mentioned, it's also welcoming to non-religious neighbours. You can wander around the beautiful terraced garden at the side of the complex, or step down to a shady restaurant offering the kind of Bosnian specialities that tickle taste buds all over the Balkans. And that surely means that all the city's residents can now believe in the overdue arrival of Ljubljana's mosque.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. And our thanks to Guy Delaunay for today's episode. Remember to tune in on Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye. And thank you for listening, city lovers.